Quentin?
Yes, Miss Tripp. Here I am over in the orchard.
You're supposed to be in bed, Mr. Irwinter. It's 9:30.
9:30? Oh, well, I never go to bed before 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, what am I going to do in bed?
Oh, won't you be able to sleep?
At 9:30? What, do you go to bed at 9:30?
Well, it takes me a few minutes to lock up, but I'm in bed by 10.
Well, you can't expect me to go to bed at the same time these old people.
Mr. Irwinter, if you're old enough to be a guest here, you're old enough to go to bed.
Yes. When was the last time you were kissed by a man?
Well, I don't think that's any of your business.
Oh, well, don't be afraid to tell me, my child. I'm an old, old man.
Well, now, which is it? Do you stay up late because you're young, or do you pry into my private life because you're an old, old man?
The moonlight does something to your hair and your eyes. You're very beautiful. Why are you hiding here? What are you running away from?
Mr. Irwinter, I don't know you. Why, I've never seen you before today.
Can you stand there and tell me you'd just as soon go to bed at 10 o'clock at night on a moonlight night?
It's the only way I know to get a good night's sleep.
Sleep? Do you want to sleep your life away in this place while life is passing you by? What have you done with the thousands of moments in the past 3 years? Let them slip away, perhaps?
You can't stop them.
But you can live them. You can live each moment.
Live them? How? You can't just go around waving your arms.
Here, give me your hand. Just stand over here close to me and look up at the moon. And think back when, as a child, you first made that wish on the evening star.
Why, that seems so long ago.
You were young and slim and swift, a creature who was part of nature. You were the... No, you keep looking at the moon.
When I was very small, I thought that the moon was a hole in the sky God looked through to watch us.
When you were a child, you responded to the wind and to the flight of a scarlet bird at sundown.
I remember when I thought that rain was the tears the stars made when they cried.
And you were alive. Each moment brought fresh enchantment without searching.
Harriet? Harriet?
Oh, that's John. That is Mr. Watson.
By what right does he call you after 10 o'clock?
Well, you see, I told him I'd sew a button on his coat for him.
Oh, well, look, here, I need 2 buttons sewn on my, Angie.
Well, yes. Yes, so you do. But John, that is Mr. Watson, I promised him tonight.
Well, how about tomorrow night? Will you promise me? Tomorrow night?
Well, all right, yes. Yes, tomorrow night. But now you must go to bed.
But I don't feel like going to bed. I feel full of life.
I don't care what you're full of or how you got full of it. You're 77 years old, and you've got to go to bed.
Ah, you've woken up at last, Rooster. You know, you've been a disgrace to me here among these people, Omar. I said you were a fighter, but all you do nothing but sleep. These old people depress you, do they, Omar? Well, it is depressing. But, Bert, believe me, I can halt this march toward death and bring these people back to life. You don't believe it, huh? Well, you shall have a better fate than dragging out your later years in misery. For a short time, you will live well. You will become round and fat and jolly. And then, my friend, I will eat you.
Oh, no, you won't.
What? Oh, Emmett, here now, get down from that wall. You want someone to see you?
All right.
Look, Emmett, if anybody sees you here...
Correct me if I am wrong. The idea in your coming to this place was to hide out for a day, get some food for us, and then clear out with me.
Well?
So far, I have seen no food. nor any inclination on your part to leave.
Well, I've decided to linger a while, Emmett.
Why?
I've decided to make these old people younger. You see this little package?
Yeah. What is it?
I've been down to the post office this morning preparing this small package. Took some time since the package is presumed to have come from Tibet.
What are the contents of the package?
A potion of twin seed. I have some chores for you, Emmett.
Wilfred, you have not acted this way since you offered to donate a live water buffalo to the Children's Museum.
Mm.
Do you fancy that by giving them an imaginary potion, you can make them younger?
No, of course not. The potion is just a prop. I'll force them out of the mental ruts they're in. The mind is the secret of youth, Emmett. These people's minds have tricked them into being old. I'm going to turn them inside out.
Even if it kills them, which it probably will.
No, the charming Miss Tripp is a lovely woman, and she has kindness of feeling toward these people, but she doesn't understand their needs. I've been quite touched by these people, Emma, and I intend to help them.
Oh, the charming Miss Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
May I remind you, Wilfred, that so far in your life you have been engaged to 5 women. May I further remind you that I extricated you from all 5 predicaments.
Yes. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go out and get me a croquet set, a bingo wheel.
Wilfred, while the police outside are still scurrying around looking for you, you sit here dreaming up phony schemes, falling in love.
Now, will you do these chores for me, Emmett, and then I'll be off with you. I promise.
Let me remind you, Wilfred, love holds hidden dangers. Love leads to marriage. Marriage leads to work. Work is a living death. Think of this, Wilfred, and be warned.
Mrs. Stamper, isn't it a wonderful idea, Mr. Irwinter's, to set up the supper table out here in the yard?
Oh, he's such a wonderful man. So vibrant and alive.
I think it's the potion he takes.
Oh, do you? Do you think he brought it back from the post office with him?
I think so. He winked at me.
Wouldn't you now leave them together for 2 minutes and Bibi staring into the deep blue wells of her eyes?
Mrs. Hanmer, we're all going to be young again.
Perhaps Mrs. Hanmer feels there isn't any hope in her case.
Ah, Claus. Well, listen to me, you baby blue-eyed crown. I'm not old, but I'm old enough to know when to stop making a play for men.
Well, since you're such a reasonable woman, you must have stopped years ago.
Why, you outlandish lady.
Oh, now, come, girls. Not for supper. It's bad for the digestion.
Now, everyone take their same seat, please. Mr. Cherry. Miss Hoadley.
Now, may I have your attention, one and all? May I have your attention, please? As we eat, I'd like to tell you of a plan I've made.
Oh, my, yes. Let's hear the plan.
What is your plan?
I think all of you will agree that Miss Hoadley should have a hearing aid with batteries. Miss Cherry should have new stamps. Miss Sampler should have flowers that will grow. And Mrs. Hanmer should have her operation.
And me? Did you have something in mind for me, Mr. Irwinter?
Oh, yes, Mr. Beebe. Yes, there's something for you. I'll discuss that with you later in private.
I understand.
Now, in order to obtain these things, it'll take a slight amount of money. Now, to raise the money, we shall have a bazaar.
Oh, my goodness.
Oliver, I'm sure that Mr. Watson wouldn't like that.
With a little ingenuity, we might make $500-$600.
Oh, well, if we can make that much, I think we ought to try.
A bazaar, you gotta have a lot of things. Bazaar in this dump.
Now, never mind. I will arrange everything.
Big talk. Trying to make an impression on Miss Trapp.
Now, Mrs. Trapp.
I give you my word. I give it. And now, before we start eating, we ought to have a little song of some sort to put us in the proper spirit for this wonderful repast Miss Tripp has prepared. Now, how about a song of some sort? Let's see. Ha, 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 little brown jug, oh, I love thee. Ha, 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 little brown jug, oh, I love thee.
May I ask what this demonstration is all about?
Well, we were just singing a song.
Well, it just so happens the church next door is having their evening service. Where did this table come from?
It's the dining room table. We thought it would be nice to have an outdoor supper. It seemed harmless.
Because it was harmless.
May I ask, Mr. Erwinter, what you had to do with this?
Oh, I thought of it.
You all know where the table belongs. I want it put back there at once.
But, Mr. Watson, we were having such a good time.
And I'm sorry.
First party we had in months.
Miss Tripp, may I see you in my office, please?
I told you. There ain't nothing gonna happen. Nothing at all. That's the end of your bazaar, Mr. Oliver Tierwender.
Now, Harriet.
Now, John, why did you make those poor old people take that table in?
Well, I lost my temper. I'm sorry.
You should be.
Well, tell them they can bring it out again.
It's too late now.
Harriet, Mr. Erwinter seems to be an upsetting influence here.
Whom does he upset?
Our guests, of course.
And you?
Yes, and me. He forces me into the position of a killjoy. But I can't help it. I have certain responsibilities, rules to enforce. Personally, I have no objections to him. He seems to be an interesting man.
Fascinating. He has a great deal of charm.
I imagine that he must have been quite handsome 30 years ago.
What's the matter with him now?
His face is wrinkled.
You haven't seen him up close.
Harriet! Has he made any advances?
Well, he tried to kiss me.
Doesn't he know we're engaged?
How could he? There's no ring on my finger, no date set. And the last time you told me you loved me was 4 months ago.
Well, people who are in love don't have to keep proving it to each other.
Are you ashamed of being in love, John?
Of course I'm not ashamed.
Well, then can't you say, I love you?
No, all right, then. Oh, this is foolishness, foolishness.
Then the next time I shall let him kiss me.
No.
And that will be tonight, yes.
No.
Yes.
Has it occurred to you that in just 23 years, he'll be 100 years old?
Yes. You see, Oliver, if I left here, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go or how to get the most out of life.
Listen, Harriet, I can show you where a golden cockatoo sits in a little crooked tree, where a shaft of saffron-yellow sunlight illuminates a single blood-red rose. I can take you to strange, enchanted places where mystic things can happen to the soul, and I can give you love.
Oliver, I should tell you.
Yes, tell me what?
That John, that is, Mr. Watson and I have an understanding.
And just what do you two proper people understand?
We understand that, well, that someday he will put a ring on my finger.
Well, if you want a ring, I'll give it to you now.
Now, Oliver?
Why, we're in love now. Why wait 3 years to confirm it? I regret the fact that I don't have the proper ring to put on your finger, but here, this beautiful cigar band I have here. This will serve as a symbol of our love.
But, Oliver, shouldn't we talk it over first? Well,
what is there to talk about? Besides, I'm not the chatty sort.
How can I know my mind on such sudden notice?
You don't, nor do I know mine. But the grave is no place to find the final calculation that tells one that it is safe to love. There. Now, the paper jewel is upon your finger. Now we'll promise all the things that lovers vow.
Mr. Winter.
Oh, dear. Passion and a goldfish bowl. I promised Mr. Beebe and Mr. Cherry that I'd have a little chat with them in their room before they went to bed, but you'll meet me here later, after they're all in bed. You'll come?
Yes, I'll come, Oliver.
Mr. Winter?
Yeah, until 10 o'clock then. Farewell. Coming, Mr. Beebe.
Mr. Winter. The potion, the pink star.
The pink star. Yes. Yes, indeed it is. Wow.
Oh. It's a very small package.
I guess it doesn't take much of it.
The stamp is in excellent condition. The perforations aren't torn at all.
The address is written in English.
Yes, he must have got somebody to do it for him. It's not his writing.
Had you planned to save the stamp yourself?
Well, I was in hopes that you would be able to use it, Mr. Cherry.
Oh, thank you for your kindness, sir.
Why don't you open it up?
Now? Well, all right. Here we are. Now, we'll split it three ways. And, as a further surprise, to wash it down, I have some whiskey. Mrs. Hoadley's whiskey.
Where'd you find it?
Little ingenuity. Whiskey and a potion of Twinsty. Oh, we're in for a wild night. Mr. Beebe, you're first. I'll have one.
They look like rolled-up breadcrumbs.
Rolled-up pellets of youth, Mr. Beebe. Have one. That's right. Now we'll wash it down with a little of the tears of Highland lassies. Wash it down. There we are.
My goodness, I'm nervous. This is my first time.
I know. Just take it easy. Now, Mr. Cherry, you're next.
Thank you, but I don't think I'd better.
Oh.
You said you would.
I'll keep the stamp, though, if I may.
Oh, now, you're safe in taking one, Mr. Cherry. Now, they can't hurt you. Look, you eat them right like candy. I just eat them like candy.
Well, try one just to see what they're like.
That's the spirit. That's the way to do it. Come, fill the cup, and in the fire of spring, the winter garment of repentance fling. How do you feel, Mr. Beebe?
I don't feel anything yet.
Well, have patience, my friend. The potion is up against enormous odds. Maybe have another little drink, huh? There, wash it down. How's it now? You feel anything now?
What should I feel?
What should... my friend, how can one man tell another what he will feel like when he takes the potion of youth? You'll feel what you will feel, my friend.
Well,
there we are. Now it's breaking through.
I feel as wild as a tiger cub.
You do? Well, that's the spirit.
Come on, Cherry. Let's ring bells. Let's rattle doorknobs.
Rattle doorknobs? What do you mean, Mr. Beebe?
Come on.
Mr. Beebe, do you think you'd better?
I'm going to. Come on, Mr. Cherry, rattle doorknobs. Mademoiselle from Armentier's Parlez-vous. Mademoiselle from Armentier's Parlez-vous.
Mr. Beebe. Mr. Cherry.
Mr. Watson.
Go to bed, Mr. Beebe. Mr. Cherry.
Pleasant dreams, gentlemen.
Mr. Erwinter, we do not pretend that our way of life here is absolute, nor do we state it that it's the only correct approach to living. But it is ours. And by the standards of this home, what you have just done was anything but proper. I will see you in the morning. Till then, good night, sir.
Now, Mr. Watson.
In the morning, Mr. Erwinter.